All right, would you guys see that video? Funny? It was scary. That girl's scared right there. She's taking a nap during the teaching. I like that. Well, I think that my name's Nick, in case you guys don't know. I'm the high school pastor. We meet in the hub every Saturday night, and it is great to be here with you guys. Are you guys excited about Christmas? Anyone? How many of you guys are looking forward to getting like a Nintendo Wii? Anyone? Adam is. Adam's excited. Hey, let's pray and we'll have our Bible study. God, we're so thankful for today to be here with one another, Lord. Velocity is always an exciting time for me to be able to be here and to share your word. And so I pray for these students that have gathered here this morning. God, I pray blessing into their lives. I pray that this morning, as that video well portrayed, Lord, you would be in our hearts this Christmas season. Lord, that we would think of you, Jesus Christ, and all that you have done for us. In your name, amen. Amen. Hey, if we're not careful, I think you guys would agree with me that for some of us, Christmas can be about all of those things we just saw in that video, right? It can be about the presents, okay? Presents are awesome. It can be about the Christmas tree. Some people are fanatic about decorating their Christmas tree. How many of you guys have Christmas trees at home? All right, most of you, right? And how many, you've got all the decorations and the little bulbs and all the little, you know, what are they called? Ornaments, there it is, right? And you throw tinsel and snow and you put a little, you know, Christmas tree topper on top. We have an angel at our house. And we put lights outside and we put those big green wreath kind of things, right? And we're super into playing Christmas music, right? And you're listening to Jingle Bells and all the Christmas songs. And if we're not careful, Christmas can become about all of those things. I read a story of a lady. Check this out. She's so into Christmas and Christmas trees. She has 52 Christmas trees in her house. 52, dude, okay? Now, she even has one in her laundry room. Check this out. In her bathroom and in her bathtub. Could you imagine? Hey, I'm going to go ahead and take a shower with a Christmas tree, right? In her bathtub. A little crazy. Some of us, some people, get way into all of the outward things of Christmas. But what's the real meaning of Christmas? You guys know this. Jesus, right? See, as you think about it, if you're like me, okay, when I was growing up, I was really into presents. And in fact, my parents, they would wait till the night before Christmas, Christmas Eve, to wrap all of our presents. So they would always be up till like 4 in the morning downstairs wrapping all of the Christmas presents. And we'd be upstairs sleeping. But if you were like me when I was younger, man, like 4 o'clock in the morning on Christmas Day, I'm up. It's like the only day all year that I'm like up at 4 in the morning, like ADD, you know, like let's do it. Let's have Christmas presents, right? But my parents had just went to bed. And so we'd always have to just sit down around the Christmas tree looking at all these presents and just waiting for the presents until my parents woke up maybe 9, 10 o'clock in the morning on Christmas Day. That's a bummer, right? Could you imagine having to wait till 10 in the morning to open Christmas presents? But for me, Christmas was all about presents, right? You'd pick up the presents that have your name on it. You'd like shake it. What is that? Is that a toothbrush holder? What is it? Awesome, right? And you're shaking your presents. You're smelling the boxes. Maybe, you know, it's a cat and he just, you know, it smells in there because there's a cat in there, whatever. And we're excited about Christmas presents, these things that are wrapped under a Christmas tree. But as I was thinking this Christmas, we know that Christ is the meaning of Christmas. I was thinking how God our Father, just like your parents, they wrap Christmas gifts and put them under a tree. Are you aware that God the Father, he sent us, we might call a Christmas present. See, God the Father, who loves us more than our own earthly parents could ever love us, check this out. He wrapped Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, you guys know, was a man, right? But he was God, too. The Bible says that Jesus came as God's only son, wrapped in humanity. That he put on humanity. That's incredible. That's like God's gift wrapped in humanity. God himself came wrapped in humanity for all of mankind. And check it out. God has a Christmas tree. What's that tree called? The cross. And this is the amazing thing. This is the thing I want you guys to think about this Christmas, is that God the Father, your heavenly dad, okay, sent his only son wrapped in humanity and he pinned him to a cross, a tree.
And what I want to talk to you guys about this morning is that what I would suggest to you, more than, you know, Nintendo Wii and all these games that you might get, Xbox 360s, and girls, you might like up your Barbie doll collection or something, right? More than any of those gifts, I know that's like a very typical, more than any of these gifts, the gifts that we have in Christ Jesus, in the gift that God sent wrapped in humanity to be pinned to a cross. Now check this out. Christmas trees, they're all pretty, right? You put candy canes on them, lights, and but God's tree, listen, isn't so pretty. But I suggest to you, even though God's tree, the cross, where Christ hung and was beaten and bloody, messy tree, we find greater gifts than any of the gifts you'll ever get for Christmas. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, and here the Apostle Paul tells us about some of the gifts that we have in Christ that come from, if you will, the tree of Calvary. As a result of Christ's work on the cross, we find some important gifts for us as Christians. Ephesians chapter 1, if you have your Bible, and I've entitled this message, What's Under the Tree? What are the gifts that we find as a result of Christ and his work on the cross for us? Okay, so if you got your Bible, jump with me to chapter 1, verse 3, and we're going to read the first gift that we find in Christ on the cross. Verse 3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in who? In Christ. So Paul's setting the stage. Check it out. You don't realize it, but did you know that you have every present God could possibly give to you? It's already been given to you. That's incredible. It's like everything, you know how we have like Christmas wish lists, right? And you've got like your parents, maybe you give them a wish list of like 700 things you want for Christmas, right? Well, here's what the Bible says, that God in Christ gave you everything you could possibly ever want. Every spiritual blessing. And he goes on to describe some of them. First one is what we call predestination, or having been chosen. Read verse 4. It says that just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. First present that Paul talks about that God has given us in Christ on the tree at Calvary is that you've been chosen. You've been predestined. It's just a long word to say you've been chosen. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean when the Bible says you've been chosen? Okay, how many of you guys have recess at your school? Some of you guys have like a time for recess. How about lunch? Lunchtime, right? Okay, and you guys get to go outside and play sports, right? How many of you guys play sports at recess or at lunchtime? Okay, a bunch of you guys. Now, if you were like I was in middle school, right? Everyone runs out to the parking lot of our school, and it's time, we're going to play football, we're going to play foursquare, we're going to play something, right? And it comes time, especially you're playing football or like kickball or something, right? You have to break up into teams. Now, I was always the guy, okay? I was always the middle schooler that was like last picked, okay? Anyone feeling me? You don't have to raise your hand and embarrass yourself. But you know that feeling? It's just like there's like 800 people and you're the last. You're like 799th pick, right? Everyone's got every team player. They've got guys that like can't see. They pick before you. Guys that have broken legs got picked before you. And there you are. You're just like, hey. And there's like two people left. And somebody goes, oh, we'll pick the other guy. And it's just you. And the team goes, you have Nick. He's on your team. And you're like, sweet. I'm glad I was the last one picked. Right? That's a horrible feeling if you've ever felt being picked last. But this is what the Bible says in Christ Jesus you have. The Bible says you've been chosen. God picked you for his team. God's squad, you were chosen, you were picked. But listen, it says before the foundations of the world. That means before this world was created, listen, God picked you. Do you guys get that? You were picked first by God. Before God spoke this earth that we live in into existence, before God created human beings, okay, God had already picked you to be on his team to spend eternity with him in heaven. That's incredible. So next time you're like playing recess and you get picked last, just go, yeah, well, God picked me first, right? Okay? That's what the Bible's saying. The first gift that Paul talks about underneath God's Christmas tree is predestination, or that you were chosen. Let's keep reading. Let's read our second gift that he speaks of. He says in verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You were chosen to be God's kid. God looks upon all of the world, and for some reason, he said, I choose you. I want you to be my kid. I want you to be my son, my daughter. Okay, let's read verse 6. It says that you were chosen to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Listen, gift number two, verse 7. In him, in Jesus Christ, we have what? Redemption through his what? Blood. That's huge. So not only have we been chosen by God, but God has redeemed us. How many of you guys have heard the word redeemed before? Right? Probably a lot. Kevin, I'm sure, talks about redemption often. What does redemption mean? Does anyone here know? Go ahead. Spit it out if you know it. Anyone have an idea? Good. This is what redemption means. If you could imagine, okay, how many of you guys, well, none of you, how many of you guys have actually seen your parents get a ticket for speeding? Wow, that's amazing. I hope all your parents come so I can still get them like this today. Right? Okay, we've all seen our parents get tickets. Now, usually what's written on that ticket is what? How much they owe, right? Dude, speed limit was 40, you're going 110. You owe us a lot of money, right? Did you not see the red light? You ran right through it. You didn't even slow down. You were just ding, right through the red light, okay? We've all seen that. Now, on the ticket, it says a price that you now owe to the government, right? Dude, you busted, you broke the law. Now you got to pay. In fact, I just recently got a ticket for not stopping at a red light when I was making a right-hand turn. And I was angry because I got in the mail, just like what your parents receive. They receive a bill basically saying how much you owe for having broke the law. I was mad. I was angry. I said, no, I don't owe that money. You're crazy. I didn't run no red light. And at the bottom of this piece of paper that I got in the mail, it said, go to this website and see yourself. I was like, what? Go to the website. There I was. A video, a live video of me coming up to a red light and not even slowing down, just hitting the right-hand turn. And I was like, busted. And I had to pay $100. So we've all seen that. We've seen tickets. We've seen the thought of having to pay money because we broke the law. This is what God's word has to say about you and I. We've all sinned. And what God calls that is breaking the law. You sin, you cheat, you steal, you lie, you say a bad word. You're breaking God's law. And the result is, the Bible says, the wages of sin or breaking the law is what? Does anyone know that verse? Death. Here's the idea. Because you and I are sinners, we can't come to God. We can't have a relationship with God. In fact, our eternal destiny should be H-E double hockey stick, right? Hell. That's where we should go. Because we've broken the law, we have to pay a price. But here's redemption. It's a change. It's an exchange. It's just like if your dad got that ticket and he says, you know what, officer, I'm really sorry. I broke the law. I deserve to pay you $300 for going 110 in a 40-mile-an-hour zone. But you know what? And the officer looks at your dad and goes, you know what? Don't worry about it. It's as if you never did it. You know what? I'll walk away. You don't owe me anything. Wow. That'd be a great day, right? Your dad would probably take you guys all out for ice cream. Your mom would be all happy. Well, that's what the Bible says God did for us. We have this huge debt. If you will, our ticket of all the sins we've done, we owe God our eternal. We owe God just death. We deserve to be completely separate from God forever. We deserve the wrath of God. We deserve to be punished by God. And God says this, see Jesus, see the blood that he poured out on the cross. Let's trade up. You give me that bill, ticket, it's worth millions and millions of dollars in a sense, and I'll give you the blood of Jesus, my son, and I'll never count anything against you. I'll see you now in the blood of Jesus Christ. What a deal, right? What a deal. Imagine if your dad was like, you know what, I really want to pay the ticket. Officer, no, really, I want to take care of it for you. I got $100, I'm going to pay your ticket. No, look it, sir, I really want to pay it. I love giving away hundreds of dollars. You'd say, Dad, have you lost your mind? You probably from the back seat start knocking on your dad's head to make sure there's a brain in there, right? Okay? That's the idea. That's what God has offered in Christ. That's the second gift that Paul talks about underneath God's Christmas tree. Let's keep reading. So not only predestination and redemption, but keep reading in verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood and the what? Forgiveness of sins. They go hand in hand. Forgiveness, redemption. Not only have you been redeemed, has there been an exchange, but God literally, listen, he wipes away your sin. It's as if you never have done it. How many of you guys have sinned this week? Okay, how many of you guys sinned today? Good, raise up. How about like when your mom like knocked on the door, it's time to go to church, and you were mumbling things under your breath? Remember that this morning, right? Okay. I don't want to go to church. How about when you're driving to church? I want to be in bed. I want to go to McDonald's and get an Egg McMuffin. I don't want to go to church, right? Okay? All the sins that you committed today. Maybe right now you're sinning, thinking that guy up there talking is a complete dork. His sweater's too blue. I don't know what you're saying, okay? You're sinning right now in church. But this is the thing. Imagine how many sins you've committed in your whole life. I'd guess by the time I die, I've probably committed like 10 bajillion sins. I just made up a number. Bajillion. There it is, okay? 10 bajillion sins. That's like a number that can't even be counted to. And you all will probably have committed more sins than me. I don't know. But here's the thought. Here's the thought. God, He forgives it all. If we come to the cross, if we come and partake of God's gift wrapped in humanity, the cross where He was poured out for our sins, if we partake, God will forgive all your sin. Now that means past sin, okay? All the sins you've ever committed. That means present sins. All the sins you're committing right now. And that means future. That means God forgives sins you haven't even committed yet. Isn't that incredible? God's already forgiven the day when you'll sin. Let's say you're married and you have a wife, husband, and you get in an argument. God already forgave you for that sin. But here's the thought. You say, Nick, sweet, I can sin all I want. God will forgive it all. No. Here's the thought. God's given you such a gift, you take care of that gift. You honor that gift. That gift is precious to you. And you say, you know what? Because the cross and Christ and all that He had to go through, you know what? I'm not going to sin. I'm going to run away from sin. I'm going to do my best not to partake in things that are sinful. That is God's gift to you. I forgive you. Has anyone ever come to you and asked for your forgiveness? Couple, right? You've experienced that. You know what? I'm really sorry I hurt you. And you say, I forgive you. Now, how about the opposite? Have you ever done something really bad to somebody and you went to them and you said, look, I'm really sorry. And they said, I forgive you, right? You've experienced that. Isn't that like the greatest feeling in the world? Man, I was such a jerk. I was so mean. I shouldn't have did that. I sinned against this person, but man, they forgave me. That's cool. And all of a sudden you're like best friends, right? I remember being in middle school, you have like 8 best friends. Everyone's your best friend. Especially like I grew up in a family, I have 3 sisters. They had 8 friends, best friends each. It's like, who's your best friend? It's Sheila, Shanae, and Shala, all these, right? I'm just like, what, dude? You can't have 8 best friends. You have 1 best friend. That's why they're your best friend, right? Well, I don't know what it is about girls. They have 8 of them at least, right? Everyone's their best friend. Oh, yeah, she's my best friend too. Okay? Well, here's the thought. Have you ever experienced best friends and you break up, right?
All of a sudden, we're not best friends anymore. I only have 7 best friends now,
right? Now, it's a great thing. Why? Why don't you have a best friend? Well, because she said this to Jeff and Jeff said this and this and this, right? And it's like this long story. And then finally, you just go up and you know, I'm sorry. Oh, we're best friends again. Oh, you're crying. Oh, I have 8 friends again. It's awesome, right? Well, this is what God wants to do with your relationship with Him. It's like God, seriously, He says He calls you His friend. He wants to be your best friend. But sin creates this barrier, this breakup, if you will. But God, through Jesus Christ, there's forgiveness. And through forgiveness, God wants to reunite us, that we can have that intimacy with our Heavenly Father. Now let's read the last gift that Paul talks about. Jump with me all the way down to verse 11. In Him, in Jesus, also we have obtained an inheritance. That's the 4th gift that Paul talks about. Listen, you've been chosen. You're predestined. 2nd, you have redemption. You've been redeemed. 3rdly, you've been forgiven of sin. Last thing Paul says, I love this one. You have been given an inheritance. Do you guys know what an inheritance is, right? It's like, basically, you probably have family members. When your parents die, most of the time, they'll leave their kids an inheritance. Money, a house, any possessions that they have, it goes to the kids, right? Now, I know it's a scary thing to think about your parents dying, okay? I don't want you to look at your parents and think inheritance. I want you to think live long, prosper, one day, way down the future, maybe there's an inheritance there. I don't want you to go out to lunch with your parents and say, so dad, what do you got waiting for me when you kick the bucket? Okay, we're not talking doing that, okay? But the reality is, an inheritance is simply this. Your parents, your dad, mom, they live their whole lives working hard to provide you a house and money and things, okay? Now, when they pass, all of the work that they've done gets passed on to you. All of the rewards of their work. And what God is saying, that I wrapped Christ in humanity, put him on a cross, and if you come to that cross, Jesus Christ, that tree, there's an inheritance waiting for you because Jesus died. And all of the work that Jesus did on the cross, all of the fruit of that work, eternal life, salvation, is now gifted to us. That's incredible. What's the greatest gift that I believe outside of salvation that comes as part of being God's child? Listen, you're going to live forever. But you're going to heaven, dude. You know how cool that is? This isn't like cat heaven. This isn't all dogs go to heaven. This is real heaven. This is spending eternity with God. This is walking on streets of gold, living, having command of mansions. God's going to give you rewards in heaven. This is hanging out with Moses, dude. This is hanging out with Jonah. So, dude, how was it being in a whale for 3 days, right? This is hanging out with guys like Abraham that you're learning in your Genesis study on Wednesday nights. It's Abraham.
Dude, you had a kid at 100, man. You were so wrinkly and old, but you still had a kid, right?
It's hanging out with the patriarchs of faith. And God says you can be a partaker of that if you partake of Christ, my present, my gift to the world. That's what you have in Christ. So guys, this year, my challenge to you is not check out the Christmas tree, the presents underneath the tree. Every time you see a Christmas tree, every time you see gift-wrapped boxes under that tree, I want you to think of the cross of Calvary. And I want you to think of that gift that God sent, that God allowed to be pierced to a cross, and that from the blood flowing down off that cross, if you come and partake of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven of sin. You're redeemed. You have an inheritance. Man, one day you're going to spend eternity in heaven. You've been chosen. You've been picked by God. Those gifts are yours. Now, here's the thing. Maybe for you, Christmas has always been about a Christmas tree. Maybe Christmas has never been about the real tree, the cross. Maybe for you, oh, I love Christmas trees because they're so pretty and all the lights and all of this, right? And the cross, Nick, that's gross. That's gory. There's blood there. There's screams, there's beatings, there's lashings. That's not Christmas. Come on, it's supposed to be happy. Yeah, it is happy for us, but it was hard for Christ. And maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe this Christmas needs to be the first Christmas where the cross is really at the center of Christmas. And I want to give you the opportunity right now. All you have to do to partake of God's gifts to you is to believe that Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross for you. And that 3 days later, he rose again from the grave that he was placed in. And that with him come gifts, eternal life. And you have to believe that. The Bible says you confess it with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you believe it in your heart. And I want to give you, as we close this service right now, the opportunity to do that. So I'm going to ask everyone right now, just you go ahead and bow your head, close your eyes. And maybe Christmas for some of you has always been about gifts under a tree. Maybe you've never experienced a real relationship with God. Well, that is what God offers you in Christ. And you say, Nick, I've never asked him to forgive my sins. I don't know what that feels like. I don't know what it feels like to be redeemed. Nick, I don't know where I'm going to go when I die. I don't know if I'll go to heaven or hell. Well, God made a way through Christ on the cross. And if you're here today and you say, Nick, I want you to pray for me because I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life today, that this Christmas would be about Jesus. If you're here right now with everyone's head bowed, I want you just to slip your hand up so I can see you. And I want to pray for you before we leave today. Is there anyone here today? I see you here in the front. You can put your hand down. Is there anyone else? You just want to raise your hand, indicate to me, Nick, would you pray for me? I want to accept Jesus. I see your hand up here in the front as well. Jesus will forgive you of all those sins that you've committed. He loves you. Is there anyone else here this morning? Okay, I see your hand up here, buddy. Anyone else? I see your hand. see your hand, bud. Well, God sees not only the hand, but the heart behind the hand. And I want you five that just raised your hands. You guys all lift your heads, just you five, okay? And I want you guys right now, just stand up right where you're at. I'm not going to tell you to come forward or anything. Just I'd like you guys to just stand right where you are. And I want you to pray this prayer after me from your heart, okay? And this is going to be your prayer to God, where you're going to ask God to forgive you for your sins, okay? All right, let's pray. You say it out loud with me. Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross. And I pray that you'd forgive me of my sins. And I pray that this Christmas would be about you, Jesus. Thank you for coming and being born into this world. Make me a new person. In your name, amen. Amen, guys. Hey, are we going to stand and close in the song? Yes? No? Let's stand. Thanks for having me.